You know, I was just thinking about when Jody was sharing, it always happens this way, the songs, and then what she was sharing, she basically, you know, somebody has to say, well, you took my sermon. I thought, no, we're all working on the same thing. The Holy Spirit really is our teacher and is really working with us as individuals, but also as a group together. It's amazing what he can do and what he does, obviously. And so I'm really, really just thinking that, you know, it's just really cool how he is working with each one of us and working with us as a group all the time. It's awesome. So I want to ask Chad to come and read Psalms 116.
All right, Psalm 116. I love the Lord because he hears my voice and my supplications, because he has inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I shall call upon him as long as I live. The cords of death encompassed me, and the terrors of Sheol came upon me. I found distress and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech you, save my life. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is compassionate. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low, and he saved me. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have rescued my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I shall walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed when I said, I am greatly afflicted. I said in my alarm, all men are liars. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I shall lift up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I shall pay my vows to the Lord. Oh, may it be in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his godly ones. O Lord, surely I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your handmaid. You have loosed my bonds. To you I shall offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving and call upon the name of the Lord. I shall pay my vows to the Lord. Oh, may it be in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem, praise the Lord.
Thank you, Chad. As a young man, I don't know how old I was. I was probably around 15, 16. This scripture, I was reading it one day, and I just said, man, this fits my life. I love the Lord because he hears my voice and my supplications. And right there, I just decided I was going to believe that God heard me. As a young man, I just said, I'm going to believe that God hears me, that when I pray, he actually listens. And that's a pretty profound thing to believe. As Jody said, a lot of times we write ourselves off, and we think, well, I'm an exception. If you say it out loud, it sounds stupid. It's like, no, I'm not an exception. No, I shouldn't write myself off. But emotionally and down in our heart, a lot of times we think, well, other people might have some relationship with God, but, you know, I really don't. I just hope I'm, you know. But this is where you got to just finally step up and say, I'm going to make this mine. I'm going to take this, and I'm going to run with it. I love the Lord because he hears my voice and my supplications, because he has inclined his ear to me. You know how powerful it is to have somebody incline their ear to you? One of the most powerful ministries you and I have to other people is just to simply incline our ear to them. I can't tell you how many stories I have of your stories, my stories, other people's stories, when people just sit there and just sit and talk to us for a long time, and when they get done, they say, man, that guy is the greatest guy I've ever met, man. He said, so fun to talk to. You know, I mean, it's like they just enjoy hearing their own voice. Well, there's nothing really wrong with that. We ought to enjoy our own voice, our own life, our own what we're going. And what's really precious is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the one that created all the universe has got his ear inclined to us. He thinks we're important. Isn't that amazing? It takes faith to believe that. And he said, therefore, I shall call upon him as long as I live. And I remember as a young person just saying, okay, I need to call upon the Lord. And now I'm 69 years old, and I'm saying, boy, do I need to call upon the name of the Lord. And if you think back on some of the messages we've been having about him being a Savior, and he saves those, do you qualify to have a Savior? Part of it is, do you need a Savior? If you don't think you need a Savior, you need a Savior, by the way. But if you don't think you need a Savior, you don't get a Savior. There's a reason why we have to call upon the Lord. It's not that difficult, but it is contrary to everything inside of us. You know, I know so many people, they do this so much better than I do. They sit down at a restaurant and they sit down and their attitude is, I'm here, I'm paying the bill, they're going to serve me, they're going to get me what I want, and they got that attitude, you know, and it's like, hey, this is what I want, the waitress, well, we really don't, no, this is what I want. Me? I don't know why I don't have that attitude. I sit down and say, I hope I'm not offending anybody but being here. I mean, I know it's weird. It really is. It's sad. And so I can't hardly demand anything. And I remember once, you know, we went to a real nice restaurant, but I just ordered chicken fingers, chicken strips. And they came out and they were raw inside. And everybody else, anybody else with any kind of normality would just say, hey, these are raw, can you give me another? And I just cut around it. Say, oh, it's okay, it ain't that much I'm losing. I don't know why I'm saying that. But maybe you have a little of that tendency. I got that tendency. So for me, I've got to hear the word of God to strengthen my inner man to say, I'm going to call upon the name of the Lord. You know, just like on the building, I got to sit and remind myself, my God, this is my job. I got to tell them what I want. I'm mostly just, well, you know, what are you guys thinking? You know, and in life, right, the Lord is trying to say to us today, and even what Jody was sharing, rise up. I gave you life. Own it. And don't think it's wrong to be, well, we're going to maybe, you know, not a bad term, but don't think it's wrong to be somewhat selfish. If you're not excited and you don't demand for your own life, there's nobody else that can. You're the only one that can call upon the name of the Lord for your life. Others can pray for you and do that, but you sooner or later have to call upon the name of the Lord. So last week there was a new couple here. If you remember, he came in with a big, long, gray beard, you know, and they were excited. They drove their motorcycle and they found they said they knew Jimmy Bratcher, and they're about vacationing. They're from Kansas City, and so Jimmy Bratcher said, check out my friend John Williams and Elisa down there and go to their church. So they did, and they had a blast. And they afterwards they said, hey, we're just riding our motorcycle through the hills. You're going to take us someplace, you know, we'll ride with you. And so Elisa lined it up, and so I think it was Tuesday night. It was when they had that storm. So we went up to Spearfish Canyon and got up to Savoy, and. And we were seeing the whole of the clouds and the rain, and somehow I just felt good inside because I normally don't want to ride in rain and hail. But I was just feeling a little tougher and said, let's just do it. And so we got up to Savoy, and all of a sudden it started raining, so we said, this is a good time to eat. So we went in the restaurant, and it came out. Man, the most gorgeous rainbow was up there, right in our background, and we ended up headed to Nemo and just were behind the rain the whole time. Had a great time, but in the process of that, they got to share their testimony with us, and they have a music a marriage ministry now. They've helped so many people, but there was a time in his life when they got married, doing well. He got caught up in some really nasty stuff, got involved in it, was making money at it, and it was going the wrong direction for a marriage, and she finally left him, and he thought he could live without her. Anyway, finally, he pulls into a church parking lot, takes his .38 and puts it right underneath his chin, and says, if there's a God, show yourself. Basically, I'm done. It's obvious that we lose a lot of people that way every day. The amount of people taking their life is extremely high. Just sharing with one of the guys on the job site, he's only 29. We're talking about our friends growing up. He grew up in a lumberyard, and so we had some great stories to share because my kids got to grow up in a lumberyard. It's a really dangerous place, and we just let them run off. So he was telling me, he said, man, it's so fun to talk to somebody that understands my stories about how crazy he could be as a teenager in a lumberyard. And then he talked about one of his good friends. He said, you know, he's passed away. And I said, what happened to him? He said, took his life. I mean, it's almost daily I hear somebody is taking their life. So there's people that hit that point and they leave the earth. But he called out to the Lord. He didn't have a church background. He didn't have any of that knowledge. It's just that intrinsically God has placed himself in every human being. There's a part in everybody's heart that is light, enlightened, that they know that there's a creator. They know there's a God. And if they call out to him, and he's sitting in that parking lot, he puts that gun to his throat, and he says, God, if you're there, show yourself. And then he just started crying. And I started crying. Because obviously he did. And then he went on and said, so then he walked into the church and ended up, talking to the pastor. He started getting counseling, and then tell their whole story. It's a miraculous story of restoration. And after he got done, I was listening to him. I had my ear inclined because it's just those stories are incredibly encouraging and life-giving. And I finally said, I want to back up. Can you back up to where you're in the parking lot? How did God show up? And he just said, he reached over, his wife is beside me, and he said, he just was there, and I felt him. And I knew he was real. That is awesome, isn't it? Richard, who started Hell Fighters that we go meet in that building, Richard was a wealthy man. He was, had his own sign business, building signs on the side of the roads and all that. I believe he was around 35, 40. It's been a while since I heard his testimony. But Richard was a wealthy man, but he was unsettled inside like so many people. And as a wealthy person, as you grow and get older, you realize some of this just is not satisfying, this inner heart cry. There's just a void there, and you don't know why, and you don't know how. And it doesn't make any sense because everybody else would be envious of you with all that you have. But he said he was just, he was not satisfied, and he took his twin prop plane that he owned and was flying, and he put it into a nosedive. Now, I've flown quite a bit, but I can tell you this, it's not very wise to take a plane like that and put it straight down into a dive. You build up a lot of momentum real fast, he was headed straight into the earth. And he heard a voice say, give me a chance and I'll change your life. And he pulled back, thank God, soon enough to pull up and pull out of that. And he came to know the Lord. Nobody was handing him a track at that time. Nobody was preaching to him. It was just him. Both these cases, it was just people who almost had no background in Christ. And yet they called out on the name of the Lord. And the Lord manifested. Now, our granddaughters just took off, as you know, to college, one to Montana, one to Arizona. Makes it kind of convenient when we go to see them, we can just catch one and the other. Long ways away, but anyway, it's kind of different. And as they were leaving, we're hugging and all that. You know, part of what came out was, I put down, living will be a great adventure. I text that, and Lisa then takes a little clip of the movie. Peter Pan. Whew, pulled that out of that. Where it said, all your adventures, are done, Peter. No, living will be a great adventure. What a great statement. What a great attitude to just say, we get excited about some of these things, and we always say we're excited about the bin, we're excited about the trip, whatever else, but it's almost like, man, just daily living is the greatest thing in the world. I'm just defer there a little bit, but it's like we read about in the Bible about Elisha and Elijah and Moses and Daniel and all those great miracles, but in between those few chapters, there's days and hours and weeks and months and years of nothing spectacular happening. Some of them, they had three or two or one great spectacular thing that we read about, and then we compare ourselves like, well, if we're going to live in the supernatural, we got to have incredible things happening every day. No, it doesn't really work that way. Most of your life is just simple. Enjoying daily living. Enjoying the presence of your family and others. And part of that is in that Psalms, I love it. He takes care of those who have a simple life. In the meantime, we do have some big moments in life, but I can tell you, as you get older, you realize those big moments aren't as great as just those daily moments of just enjoying the presence of each other and presence of the Lord. It'll be forever. But living is a great adventure. And we were talking about last week, you know, about the elder son. And I think I titled the sermon, I think, Throw a Party. But here's the elder son, you know, received from, he was part of the family, and his brother was part of the family, and they're going to get their, what their father had. And the younger son says, I'm going to go party now in the wrong way. And he takes all his money and goes and squanders it. Ends up eating, you know, stuff that the pigs were eating or wish he could eat it. And comes back. The father rejoices. We know the story. And but the elder son is mad and bitter because he said, man, all these years I've served you and done everything you told me to do, and you never even sacrificed one little goat for my friends and I. And the father just said, everything I have is yours. And I just, man, I can't get over this. Again, back what the Holy Spirit was saying earlier on in the service is, don't write yourself off. You're not the prodigal son. If you were or are, repent, come back home. The rest of the, that's a parable to show things, but you got to kind of sometimes, what's the rest of the story? What happened to the prodigal son? Well, I believe, you know, if you live in a family or you learn to make money, you can go broke several times in life and become extremely wealthy. In fact, most people say, if you're going to be one of those people who becomes a millionaire, billionaire now, most of the time you've got to go broke once or twice. Most of us just don't want to do that, do we? I didn't. I didn't want that to happen to me. And when it did happen to me, I go, this isn't fun at all. And the Lord said, well, I said, why is this happening? Why am I going broke and losing everything I got? And he just said, because I'm giving you wisdom. I said, I'd rather have cash. Seriously, God, come on. Keep your wisdom for a little while. Give me cash. I thought it was funny. I think the Lord even thought it funny. I said, that's like going on a blind date and everybody tells you she's got a great personality. Well, yeah, but what about the rest? See, sorry, I shouldn't go there. So here we are, the elder son's bitter and all that. And this is where I think I fit more. Maybe you fit more here. Okay, I got saved. My sins are forgiven. I'm not sinning anymore. Now what? And sometimes life gets boring. And sometimes it looks like it's still a little bit more exciting to go throw a party in the wrong direction because at least we're partying. So I've been really thinking, you know, and I hope you're thinking about it, but as an elder son, and see, let's put it this way, the prodigal son, so-called, came back home, got restored, then could be the elder son, the one that's faithful to his dad and the one that rebuilds it. I've seen so many people lose everything, and then because they know they can do it, they can actually take and go within a year, they can become wealthy. I watch more guys that made way more money than I did. You know, one of my friends is making well over $100,000 a year when I first got married, and then they lost everything and went into debt and had nothing. And I'd never made that much money. And here they were. They were without. We loaned them money just to have meal, just to have food. Or not loaned it to, just gave it to them. It's kind of feeling sorry for him. And within a year and a half, he was back making more money than he'd ever made before. And I looked at that in my own life and said, what's up with you, John? Not that I don't need to compare. It's my life. I'm not trying to be all that. But I thought, how is it that just that, those barriers, you know, of you literally can have barriers in your life of thinking, I will make up to this much, but I'm not probably going to make that. And literally just those thoughts alone and those heart beliefs can actually limit you. The Bible says, watch over your heart, for out of it flows all the issues of life or the boundaries of life. And so literally, I hate to just talk about money because it's the least of the things that really are valuable, but it's such a good illustration that sometimes you've got a mark in your heart of how much you can make or how high you can go. And it's almost like, man, that mark will keep you where you're at. That mark will keep you at health-wise. That mark will keep you that way relationship-wise. Man, if you can get your heart free and extend the boundaries, all kinds of things can just start coming to you if you'll just believe. And part of this comes down to, you know, calling upon the name of the Lord. I need saved. And we don't all need to put a gun to our head. We don't need to get to that point. We can just take today, this moment right now, and say, I'm in a parking lot, and I'm calling upon you, Lord. I need a Savior. Show yourself. And his ear's attentive to us, and he's waiting for us, and he's waiting for that to be called. And we can not just throw a party, but more importantly, we can enjoy and get happy about the family we belong to. Man, I love that song, I Belong to You, God. I hope that ministers to you. One of the most important things in life is to feel like you belong. Just feel like you belong, you know. So many people go to work and they don't feel like they belong. I feel like I'm an outsider. So many people in their own family, I always call myself the black sheep of the family. My family finally said, why do you say that? I don't know, I just felt like I was the weird one. My brother said that I wasn't born in a family, a swan brought me. I believed him for a while. And that just that feeling that, hey, I belong here. Part of my attitude with not turning back in a raw chicken is the fact, well, I'm just an outsider anyway. And the Lord has finally told me, he said, you have every right to breathe the air as much as anybody else in the earth. Step up. But when it comes to our family now in the kingdom of God, you have every right to all the Father's goods as anybody. If you're just born again, if you're the prodigal son or not the prodigal son, if you're the good son, whatever, you have the legal right to the inheritance of your Father, your Heavenly Father. And, you know, we sang a song today about I surrender it all to you, Lord. And the Lord said, so I surrendered it all to you. We've majored so much about us sacrificing for God, but the whole message of the gospel is he sacrificed for us to have life, and life abundant, not life minimal. But we have to call upon the name of the Lord. And sometimes the people who are so desperate that they have no hope and they put a gun to their head are a step ahead of us because they recognize how bad they need a Savior. But there's not a one of us that doesn't need that Savior. Amen. And we were not created to live meagerly. We are created to live abundantly in his image, with authority, with joy, with peace, with confidence, with stepping up to the plate. And I hope that I get better at this. I want to be comfortable fitting on the board of directors. Personal story again, but my dad, my brother, and I have formed a partnership on the farm, and we accomplished a lot, didn't we? We worked hard, and my sisters. But being real honest, it was Dad's farm. My dad just loved farming. He really did. He just really enjoyed it. He could have done a lot of things in life. He was smart. He was had a lot of ability, a lot of job offers, but he just wanted to be a farmer. And up there where we live, that's like picking the worst spot in the world. Horrible soil. Gumbo, hard to work with, hard to, you know, my gosh. You start walking in it, and all of a sudden you're wearing a size 40 shoe. You can't even lift your feet and get it off. But anyway, he loved it. We had some conflicts. And part of it was we thought we were part of it, but we really weren't on the board. He was making all the decisions. Now, I'm not saying that too critically. We finally decided that wasn't going to work. And everybody got happy again. But with our Heavenly Father, it's his joy to share his kingdom with us. It's his joy to put us on the board. He said, when we got born again, we're seated beside him on the throne. That's our position of authority, right beside him. we're not subservient. And so much of our thinking, our preaching is sometimes, I'll just surrender to the Lord. That's a great word. But once you surrender, just commit to what he tells you. But you're on the board. His respect place he decided to lift high by his own choice, not by our deeds. By his own choice, he decided to let us be part of his kingdom, his ruling and reigning. We're being trained to rule and reign with God forever and ever. What's it take? It takes just an incredible little bit of faith to say, I'm going to believe what he says. And I'm going to act like it. That I'm his child. He loves me. He not only loves me, he respects me. He honors me. He loves what he's placed inside of me. And he's trying to get me to call upon him and get the help I need to be who I was really meant to be. And we really are spectacular. In that Psalms 116, at four times it says, I'll call upon him as long as I shall live. What shall I render to the Lord for his benefits towards me? I shall lift up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. We've talked about that. Just keep calling on him. So I was just thinking about this, that we, just like the elder son, the Bible talks a lot about the inheritance that we have inherited, which is the kingdom of God. And the Holy Spirit was given as a pledge, or we might call it in today's vernacular, earnest money down, guaranteeing the rest of the payment will come. The Holy Spirit has sealed us up so that we might know that we have this earnest down payment of the kingdom of God right now, that's guaranteeing us that we will have the kingdom of God for all eternity and all the power and all the privileges and all the blessings that come with that. Said all that to say this statement here, son. This is it. How do you fix a marriage that's broken? How do you fix your finances when they're broken? How do you fix your life when it's broken? How do you get out of vices when you're all entangled and enslaved? How do you succeed in what's inside your heart? It's really simple. Read the Word of God and hear it and listen to it in any fashion you can. And then call upon the Holy Spirit to teach you. You and I probably, we don't need to, most of us, I don't know if anybody in here needs to call upon, if you have never have a relationship with him, this would be a great time. You don't need to come up here and get saved or whatever. You can go to the parking lot or you can go anywhere you want to and just say, God, if you're really real, I want to be your child. I don't want to sign up for some religious thing. I don't want to become a member of some cult or whatever or a group. I just want to know you. If you've never done that, I encourage you, just do it. Anybody in here can help you do it if you need to do it. But I love it when you just do it. And if you need somebody, man, call upon any one of us. But once you've done that, what do you do with calling upon the Lord? You sit in a parking lot and say, I'm calling upon you. Teach me, Holy Spirit. Train me. We've been talking about that in Luke 6:40. When you've been fully trained, you'll be like your teacher. There's this whole process that you and I get to do from now until throughout eternity of being trained to take the inheritance that we have of being belonging to the family of God and all that comes to us, everything. You know, again, singing that song, I surrender all. But isn't it wonderful to hear the Lord say, so do I. I surrender all to you. My name, my authority, my peace, my joy, my spirit. I surrender it all to you. Call upon me. And I'll answer you. So I'm out golfing the other day and wasn't going well. Of course, I guess I get a lot of points for hitting it more than most people. It's not my deepest goal now to be a golfer. But at the same time, I'm thinking, you know, we could build a habit of just daily saying, Lord, I need, Holy Spirit, teach me. Call upon the name of the Lord. Whatever you're doing, it sounds so simple, but most things that are really powerful are. Whatever you're doing, just, Holy Spirit, I know your word, and I'm studying your word, so I got a foundation. But teach me. Teach me. Train me. Equip me. I want to live. Again, I'm not talking about just having goals of becoming so rich or having a great family or whatever. I'm just talking about the goal of living and existing the way you should be, the way he made you, and he made you and I extraordinary. And then just be ready to tell people when they're sharing their story with you, when you incline your ear to their story, just be ready to say, by the way, if you call upon the God, he'll answer you. You know, sometimes we want to answer all their questions, give them all that. And once in a while I'm finding out after listening to them, if I can just slip in, there's a guy that loves you, call on him. And then almost just walk away. And they go, whoa, what do you mean? Go figure it out. Because he will meet you. And it'll be way more salty for people to actually encounter, just like Chris did. God, if you're real, show yourself. And he showed himself to Chris. He can do that to anybody. And he wants to do that to everybody. So in your witnessing or sharing with people, don't always try to answer everything to God. Don't try to get them in a Bible study, all that. Sometimes just look at them and just say, you know, why don't you try calling upon God and see what happens and walk away. It might be the most powerful moment in their life to say, I'll do that. That's what's ahead of us. We're headed for, a lot of people think we're headed for this disaster and everything going to fall apart. If it does, we're going to need to know how to call upon the name of the Lord. Amen. If it goes bad, we're going to have to learn how to call upon the name of the Lord to get through what we got to get through. But if everything turns for the better, we really need to call upon the name of the Lord. Teach me how to handle this authority. Teach me how to handle this prosperity. Teach me how to handle all these relationships. Teach me, Lord, train me, equip me to do what I was called to do, to stand up against evil and say, you're dying today and I'm living. See ya. Like David. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for most of all for the Spirit of God that you promise us. Your Spirit, your kingdom, your peace, your joy that you promised to us, and that you just got your ear inclined to us for us to step up and say, I'm calling upon you, Savior. I need your saving grace right now to empower me . And as I hear you, your grace will come into my heart. That power, that peace, that confidence that I need will explode inside my heart, and I'll walk it out. I'll walk it out. It's not me giving up anything. I've already gave up everything. All these people giving up everything to you. We're your disciples. Whatever you say, we'll do. But I thank you that when you speak it, that word that you put in our heart has power in it to accomplish what you sent it to do. And it will not return to you void. We believe in you, Jesus, with all our heart. Help us now. We pray. Train us. Amen. Amen. Make it a habit this week of just calling upon the name of the Lord for anything. Fixing your motorcycle, cleaning the dishes, whatever. He'll train you in everything. God bless you. Have an awesome week.